Hari. Govidana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chadi. Yamuna Tiravana Chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Govijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Govijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivaj Kachari Tetra Sata Shri Shima Chidandi Goswami Shilesi Bhakti Vilanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivaj Kachari Tetra Sata Shri Shima Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki Jai. Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Prabhupada. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna. Gop Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mayi Ki Jai. Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the seventh canto, eighth chapter, in the first verse. Do you normally read the introduction to the chapter before starting the chapter? No? Yes? Yes? All right. So first we'll read the introduction. This chapter is entitled, Lord Nrisimhadev Slays the King of the Demons. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. But the Supreme Personality of God had appeared in front of the demon as Sri Nrikeshari, half lion, half lion and half man, and killed him. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this attachment became pronounced, their teachers, Sanda and Amarka, were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Prahlad Maharaj fell down at his feet and said many things just to pacify him, but he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad Maharaj challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu was not God, and began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading, that everything is under him, that no one is equal to or greater than him. Thus, he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. The more Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishnava son whether his God existed within the columns of the palace. And Prahlad Maharaj immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from his young son, He derided the boy's statement as just the talk of a child and forcefully struck the pillar with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Narasimha, half lion and half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinarily wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death, and thus he prepared to fight with the form of half lion and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time, and in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. Then the Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, but also killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. The entire universe was thus relieved of the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, approached the Lord. These included the great saintly persons, the Pitas, the Sitas, the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, the Manus, the Prajapatis, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kimpurushas, and Vaitalikas, the Kinaras, and also many other varieties of beings in human form. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgence was brilliant as he sat on the throne. Text 1. Sri Narada Uvacha. Ata daitya suta sarve shrutva tadunavarnina niyam jagruhur niravadyatvan naiva gurvanu chitta naivam gurana shikshitam. Sri Narada Uvacha. Ata daitya suta sarve shrutva tadunavarnayam jagruhur niravadyatvam naiva gurvanu shikshitam. Others. Sri Narada Uvacha. Ladies. Radhe Jasuta Sarve.
Rutvata Nivarniyam Agrur Niravadyatvam Naiva Gurvana Shikshidam Atadaitya Sutta Sarve Shutvata Dunivarniyam Jaguru Niravadyatvam Naiva Gurvana Shikshidam Shri Narada Uvacha. Shri Narada Muni said, Ata, thereupon, Daityasuta, the sons of the demons, the class friends of Prahlad Maharaj, Sarve, all, Shrutva, hearing, Tat, by him, Prahlad. Anuvarnitam, the statements about devotional life. Jagruhu, accepted. Niravadyatvat, due to the supreme utility of that instruction. Na, not. Eva, indeed. Guru Anushikshitam, that which was taught by their teachers. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Sunda and Amarka. Purport. This is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. If a devotee is qualified, sincere, and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, as Prahlad Maharaj did when preaching the instructions he had received from Narada Muni, his preaching is effective. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, 25th verse. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana kata. If one tries to understand the discourses given by the sat or pure devotees, those instructions will be very pleasing to the ear and appealing to the heart. Thus, if one is inspired to take to Krishna consciousness, and if one practices the process in his life, he is surely successful in returning home back to Godhead. By the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became Vaishnavas. They did not like hearing from their so-called teachers, Sunda and Amarka, who were interested only in teaching them about diplomacy, politics, economic development, and similar topics meant exclusively for sense gratification. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Kinanjana Shalakaya Chakshurimantam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangalankaya Tye Gurim Jatvipatam Aham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Aramanam Namadavam Sri Chaitani Shravan. Hare The word that stood out for me in this purport and caused me to consider is the word Sangha. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata taj josanad ashva pavar gavartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and is satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Sangha, association. I was considering, why is this Sangha so important? Why can't we just develop Krishna consciousness on our own? Go someplace. We have the books, the scriptures. We have the holy name of Krishna. We can have a deity. We can find some quiet, secluded place, and we can go and we can practice devotional service free from all the troublesome qualities and characters of having to live with people. I mean, we've had enough of that, right? I mean, we've had a lot of people in our life, and those people, they generally give us all kinds of trouble. They disappoint us. They annoy us. I mean, there are so many things people do that just are annoying. We become attracted to some people, and we want their association. We want their sangha. And then what happens? They do something to make us angry, and then we do something. We react. We react with some other, in some other way, and then we become angry or we become disturbed, and then we become annoying to them, and then they don't want our association, and then it's a breakup, and we've lost love, and oh, Sangha, forget it. No, people, just, you know, Krishna, let him be in his stone, right? You know, he can just be in a stone in a wood right there. Then, you know, I don't have to worry. The holy name is, that's up to me. I can chant the holy name, and however I chant, it's all under, I can go some quiet place, associate with the scriptures. All of these aspects of Krishna. So I was thinking about this. Why Sangha? Sangha appears throughout our scriptures. Rupa Goswami tells us in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Adau Shraddha Tata Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. How is it, the old verse?
adaushrada tata sadhu sangha tata bhajana kriya tato narta nivritti syat tato nishta ruchis tata ta shaktis tato bhavas tata prema byudanchati sadakanam mayam premna pradur bhave bhavit kramaha. So when shraddha, some awakening of faith is there in the jiva, the first step is that jiva begins to seek and obtain sadhu sangha, association with devotees. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lobha Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Just Lava Matra, one Lava, Lava Matra, Lava, it's the moment, just a moment's association of a sadhu, a pure devotee of Krishna, can give all perfection, sarva siddhi hoy, everything comes. Why? When Srila Prabhupada speaks of Sangha, he sometimes refers to the Bhagavad Gita, actually quite often, where the word Sangha is used in a different sense. In the Bhagavad Gita, I did some printing out. Here we go. Okay. In the second chapter, verse 62. Dhyayato Vishayan Pungsha Sangas Sangas Teshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodo Vijayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama. From Sangha, Sanjayate is born Kama. So in this verse, the word Sangha is used in a different, little different sense, but actually it's the same. Prabhupada translates it as attachment. The whole verse proceeds that by contemplating the objects of the senses, Sangha, attachment develops. And from Sangha, Sangha, Sanjayate, Kama, desire. Desire arises. Kama arises from Sangha. So we can see that by Sangha, attachment, desire arises. And similarly, by Sangha of the devotee, desire, the desire for Krishna arises in the heart. When we associate with devotees, we want something. We begin to want something. We want what they have. We begin to want what they have. When we see in someone their love, their joy, their peace, we see it and we want it. So this Sangha gives rise to the desire for Krishna. So I'm still curious, why? Why does this happen? So being a very materialistic
person. I go outside of our scripture because I kept on looking for, I Googled wide. I looked wide. So I thought, well, maybe I have to use a different word because association, I Googled this. I said, well, why does association affect a person, right? And I got all things about, associations of like the Automobile Association or something like that. The term association we use in a very specific way. So I tried a different one, company. Prabhupada also says this. He talks about how a man is known by the company he keeps. And I found something very interesting. I found a couple of things. First, I found out that, yes, this is not something that we alone are interested in. The materialists are also interested to understand the effects of association, or the effects of the company that somebody keeps. The effects of just the people around you on how you are. They found out, of course, you know, this is still their speculation, but it is something we can relate to, that there's something called emotional contagion. Emotional contagion. Psychologists, because they don't bother to look in the shastras, thinking they are smarter than anyone, they try to understand things by their empirical method, by studying people and studying what happens when people do this or that or whatever. And they found that there is something called emotional contagion. If you're around a lot of happy people, you're going to feel a little happy. If you're around a lot of sad and depressed people, they're going to make you also a bit sad. If you're around a lot of angry people, you're going to get angry. It's going to make you feel angry. I think we've seen this even in our own communities sometimes. That someone gets very upset about something, and other people feel very upset about that too, and there's more upset, and people get all upset because one is upset and it gets upsetter and upsetter. But we also find the opposite. We find we come to Mangal Aarti and we see the devotees chanting and dancing, and we feel like chanting and dancing. We feel happy. Why do you think so many people come here? For the aartis. Because they know they're going to be in the company of lots of happy people. Many of us have had probably experiences interacting with people in the public. Maybe some friends or relatives who don't really understand much about our movement. But what's one thing that many of them remark? You seem like pretty happy people. I remember a time when my father was still alive, he used to enjoy taking my family with him and his wife, my mother, on trips. And one of our trips was to Hungary because that's my father's, you know, extraction. He's from that, he has relatives there and so on. So he said, oh, he wants to bring his family. And it very fortunately, this happened to coincide with the Budapest Rath Yatra. So we took him along to the Rath Yatra. And he walked along with the Rath Yatra and so on. And I remember him turning to me and said, well, I have to say one thing. They really are happy. People come to our temple here to get that happiness. They want it. They see it. And they know that if I hang around it, it may rub off. I may get some of it. And they do. People who would never think of jumping and dancing and doing all these types of course, they do it sometimes in pujas and so on, but it's a different kind of thing. They dance nicely for Krishna. They chant the holy names. And they feel the happiness of the devotees. So association, by association, we develop the desire to have what we see, to have that joy, to have that love. It sparks it in us. Therefore, the nectar of instruction tells us, Utsahan nishchayadharya tat tat karma pravartanat sangatyagat shatovrite sadbir bhakti prasidyati. One can execute the process of bhakti yoga successfully with full-hearted enthusiasm, perseverance, and determination by following the prescribed duties in the association of devotees, and by engaging completely in activities of goodness. When we associate with the devotees, it helps generate that enthusiasm, that determination, that perseverance. How often have you felt, oh, this Krishna consciousness, this process, I'm not feeling enthusiastic. And what happens? You see a devotee. You see a devotee chanting with enthusiasm. You see the Harinam party chanting wonderfully and dancing. And you remind yourself, you remember, yes, it's there. Let me just push this aside and re-engage myself in that process of surrender to Krishna. So sadhu sangha, associating with devotees and not associating with the non-devotee, that is also there. So that gives us another question about the meaning of association. So as I said, I was, researching, Googling, and so on. And I came up with something else that was very interesting. Association, as I said, has many different meanings and is used in many different contexts. And most of the mundane world, you could say, the world that is fixed on pursuing sense gratification, doesn't really use the term association as we do. But in various other contexts, it's very interesting. Like in statistics. Anyone here studies statistics? So I found something very interesting. There is association and there is interaction. Association in statistical terms means that one thing has an effect on another thing. Two things are associated, meaning there's an effect between one and the other. Their qualities are associated with each other. As opposed to interaction, where two things may interact, but the effect is somewhere else. They're not affecting each other. So, for example, the fan is spinning. I am sitting here. The fan is creating some wind, and that wind is interacting with me, and I feel cool. So there's an interaction. But we're not associating. My sitting here doesn't affect the fan. But when there's association, there's effect. So we're advised, don't associate. That doesn't mean don't interact. If we didn't interact, how could we spread Krishna consciousness without interaction? We must interact with all the jivas who are suffering in this world. We must interact for the pleasure of Krishna and for the service of Srila Prabhupada. We must interact and help bring Krishna into the lives of everyone. But we should avoid association in the sense that we become affected, that we become involved in a way that the qualities affect us. Rather, we have to be very careful that our interaction produces and our association produces the qualities in those that we associate with. That is what happened here. These were sons of demons, the classmates of Prahlad Maharaj. No one could be more, you should say, destined for a materialistic life. All the cards were stacked against them. They were headed for a great life of materialism. And yet, by the association and interaction with Prahlad Maharaj, because of his purity, and what does Prabhupada begin? He says that four things are there. If a devotee is qualified, okay, sincere and serious, qualified, sincere and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master. So four things. Qualification. We become qualified by practicing, by understanding, by absorbing the teaching that we have to give. We have to be sincere in what we are saying to others. Not that we simply mouth the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and in the back of our minds we're thinking, I'm supposed to say this, but I don't know, maybe I'm not really sure. That won't be very effective. And we have to be ourselves serious about our own Krishna consciousness. And we must follow our guru, our gurus, which is another form of association. Srila Prabhupada writes in The Easy Journey to Other Planets, "One should therefore engage himself in devotional service with absolute faith and make his faith steadfast, and to make his faith steadfast." So we began with Shraddha, right? Faith. And to make his faith steadfast, one should seek the association of the standard devotees of the Lord by personal association, if possible, or by thinking of them. This association will help one develop factual devotional service to the Lord, which will cause all material misgivings to disappear like a flash of lightning. If possible, we're very fortunate to live in a community of devotees. So our opportunity to associate with pure devotees, advanced devotees, is very rich. But there may be some special devotees in our lives, our gurus, and particularly our Srila Prabhupada, with whom we may not be able to personally, physically associate today. But we can associate through thinking of them, through hearing their words, through remembering them. All of these forms of association will make our faith steady. They will give us the capacity for bhajana kriya, the next stage, which leads to anartha nivritti. And hopefully going further. Nishta, ruchi, ashakti, bhava, prema. When we associate with devotees and we see their advancement, their development, and we see how it has engendered such wonderful qualities, we want it and we'll get it by continuing that association with faith, with sincerity, with seriousness, and under the guidance and direction of our sadhus, our scriptures, shastra, and guru. Hare Krishna. So we'll end here for now, and then anyone like to add some comments or questions, we'll try. Hare Krishna. Thank you. I think there's supposed to be a microphone.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the lecture, Prabhuji. I would like to ask some clarification about association and interaction. As you told us that association is having effect, and the interaction may not have some effect, or so my doubt is regarding interacting with the non-devotees. If we are only interacting with them and not giving association, so how it would affect them?
Yes, the distinction is not that there's no effect through an interaction. It is that the interaction produces an effect, but it's not correlated. In other words, the effect should be on the person that we're trying to affect. Not, you know, we may also have some effect, but we don't take on the qualities of that person that we're associating with. So by giving our association in the form of interaction, there will be an effect like we see here. When we give people Krishna consciousness, We interact with them, that we give them something. Of course, this is using words in a very, you know, I'm taking some words from statistics and trying to compare it to Krishna consciousness. So it's not going to be a perfect comparison. But I just tried to kind of show the difference that when we associate with devotees, we're trying to get their quality. Our aim is to get the qualities of those devotees. Of course, there's another type of association that Rupa Goswami describes, which is priti lakshanam, the exchange of love between devotees, which is a whole other realm of association, but which we could do another class about. But here I was trying to look at the aspect of association in reference to the Bhagavad Gita, Sangha Sanjayate Kama, that how when we associate, those desires arise that are related to that association, Sangha. So we have to be very careful that when we associate with those whose desires are not for Krishna, that we also do not become desirous of things that are not for the service of Krishna. So that is just one. But that doesn't mean we don't interact. And it doesn't mean there's not an effect. Does that answer your question? Okay. These words, many words, you know, even we see in Sanskrit, one word means different things. Yes, Gita Nagari. Prabhu.
You began the class by asking the question or proposing the idea of going away and being by yourself and just engaging in spiritual activities by yourself. So sometimes in Krishna consciousness, when you read about the stories of great devotees, even in our line, you'll find there is a, among some of them, there is a, at least some time period of withdrawal or reflection. Madhavendra Puri.
Yes.
I don't think, you can call Jagannath Das Babaji, like, not Jagannath Das Babaji, but Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's spiritual master, exactly a social butterfly.
No?
Yeah. So, and then in the Shastra, there's a ashram called Vanaprastha, where you're supposed to go out alone in the woods, or
yes. Yeah.
Not alone in the woods, but at least out in the woods, away from human society. So, so you started your class with this proposal. So is there any, and I'm just bringing up this other consideration. So is there any percentages, 70% with the devotees, 30% by yourself, or anything like that?
I think it's a progression. What I should have said in the beginning was that when we begin our path of Krishna consciousness, we may think that, oh, I can do this by myself. When we begin, because in that state we're thinking, at the beginning we're thinking, oh, associate, being with people, people are troublesome, let me not be with people. So the motivation is not spiritual. It's not for Krishna's pleasure. The motivation is bhogatyaga. Let me get rid of, you know, people in my life because they're disturbing me. But as one advances in the path of Krishna consciousness, we do find that many devotees, they begin to withdraw from this world.
Not that they no longer have association, because their association is with Krishna. And they're associating with the Lord. The Lord is no longer, they may have a deity with them, but that deity is no longer just an inanimate object. That deity is alive fully to them. The holy name is fully alive to them. They're not very alone. Even those devotees who pursue their bhajan in solitude, you can't say that they're actually alone, because they're with Krishna. They're with their gurus. But this is not something to imitate. Not something that a neophyte, a devotee on the beginning of their path thinks that, well, I don't need association, I can just practice on my own. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says like that, Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. First there has to be Sadhu Sangha, then can come Bhajana Kriya and these other stages will come, but you must have Sadhu Sangha to begin, to awaken the desire. And even when that process gets more and more rich, then that association also becomes more and more elevated, until it comes to the point where you are seeking the association in Raganuga Sadhana of those devotees who have the mood of devotion with Krishna that you aspire for. So, yes, as we advance, we may find that there is some time to retreat, to go into the forest, like you said, to go into those solitary places, even to go into a cave. We have some of our acharyas who used to go into caves. There's a in Govardhan, yes, and Raghava Pandit, I think, is it? But it's near. There's a gufa, huh? Isn't it Raghava? Is it next to Nrisimha Mandir? Anyway, there's a cave. Apparently, you look inside, there's like nothing there. But the devotees would sometimes be very, very solitary. But not to avoid people because they're troublesome, but to intensify their devotion, their loving sentiments. So I think that, does that answer your... Yeah, no, it's important. People should not think that, oh, this devotee has gone to, you know, in a solitary place, he must be in Maya. No, he may be very advanced. He may also be in Maya, but that's... We have some cases. There was one here in Mayapur. Who is Pankajanri or Jananivas? Who is that devotee? I wasn't here. Pankajanri? There was one devotee who came here, took Babaji, was going to go off. Do you know what his name was? Anyway, it doesn't matter what his name was. But anyway, Prabhupada kind of played along with him, I think, and sort of said, all right. Oh, right, yes, he was dying. Yes, yes. And then somehow his leukemia went into remission. And so he went back to, to Chicago or wherever he came from, I don't remember. So... That's not going to be very helpful. So,
all right.
It's 9 o'clock. We're supposed to. Says we're supposed to end. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your patience. Hare Bol. Pancharatna.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. 1971.